Amen.
All right. Well, go ahead and open up your Bibles to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. You know, Daniel and David are my two favorite characters in the Bible. I guess two of my favorite characters in the Bible. I have some more, but I really like Daniel. And he's a great example to the believer. And he's listed in the Old Testament, and he's one of the great men of faith and one of the cleanest and purest men that you can find living in the Bible. And it's very hard, if any, to find fault with Daniel. He was a good man who loved the Lord. And we're going to be looking at tonight, Daniel chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 1 through 4 to start out with. And this would be considered in the preaching classes as a biographical message, because I'm going to be preaching about Daniel. I'm going to be solely focused on Daniel and how we can better our lives if we line it up to Daniel's. I know the ultimate example that we have is Jesus Christ, but we can look at some men in the Bible who by faith believed and trusted the Lord and lived their life by faith following Him. We can do the same. So Daniel, look at Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. It says, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents, because of an excellent spirit was in him, and the king's thought to set him over the whole realm." So we see here, we'll read on to verse number 4. "Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him." There was a hard thing with Daniel. The people who didn't like him couldn't find fault with him. So we're going to be looking at Daniel tonight. And Daniel, if you guys realize and know the story of Daniel, and he got taken from his homeland and brought to Babylon, and Daniel was a nobody in a strange world. Initially, he was just taken from his homeland and brought to a new one, a strange one. I'll look at Daniel chapter 1, Daniel chapter 1, verses 3 to 6. Daniel chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. "And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans." So he was from Israel, and they were just taken and brought into a strange world. And if you think about it, we are strangers in a strange world. And you were a nobody. Before you knew Christ, you were a nobody. We were nothing without Christ. But God made Daniel somebody, just like He made you somebody. Look at Daniel chapter, stay in chapter 1, look at verse number 17. "As for these four children," verse number 17, same chapter, "God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus." So God made somebody who was a nobody into a somebody. He gave them, it says right there in 17, God gave them that knowledge, that skill, and the learning and wisdom. And I want to encourage you, if you're not praying for wisdom every day, that should be something that's in your prayer life. God gave Solomon wisdom because he asked for it, and he tells us to ask of him, and if we ask of the Lord for wisdom, he's going to give it to us liberally. So why are we not asking for it? We need to make sure that's part of your daily prayer, is that the Lord would grant you wisdom. Right. You need it. I need it. He's given, not only did he give, that made them some, made Daniel and somebody, but he was given all power in Babylon. Look at Daniel chapter 2, verses 48 and 49. Daniel chapter 2, 48 and 49. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the province of Babylon and chief of governors over all wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. So God put him in a place of great power, just as he has put you guys in a place of great power. He's made us, given us the power to become the sons of God. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." If you believe in the name of Jesus Christ today, you're a son of God. He's given you the power to become the son of God. He made you from a nobody who was on his way to hell that you deserved into a somebody that could give him glory with your lives. And he also made Daniel prosperous. He made him prosperous. Look at chapter 6, verse 28. Chapter 6, verse 28. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. He was a prosperous individual. And you know what? God has made us prosperous. He has prospered our way. Look at Psalm chapter 35. Psalm chapter 35. And we're going to look at verse 27, Psalm chapter 35. Psalm 35, verse 27 says, "Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant." You are a servant of Jesus Christ. And he desires to make you prosperous. And he delights in that. And we look at Daniel, we're like, wow, what? Look at all these great things that God did for Daniel. He was a nobody. He made somebody. He put him in power in Babylon. And he also made him prosperous. And what I want us to look at tonight, what we're going to look at here tonight, is how was Daniel able to reach such heights and become into a place of such power and influence without compromising being a godly man, right? That's what we're going to look at tonight, because you can do things and you can be prosperous. God can put you in a place of power. You can become a somebody for him as long as you don't compromise some things, just like Daniel. So we're going to look at four things tonight, four things of what Daniel did to stay a godly man in the position that he was in. Let's pray tonight. Lord, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for this man, Daniel, that we can look at as a great example unto us. And I pray you'd help us to apply these attributes to our lives so we can become better servants for you. Lord, I pray that you would guide my thoughts and my heart, my tongue, my feet and my hands, Lord, and I pray you'd help me to preach exactly what you'd have me to say here tonight. Lord, get my flesh, get anything in my life out of the way so I wouldn't be a hindrance to your people here today. I love you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing about Daniel, well, the first thing we notice, even as a young teenager, Daniel was a man of purpose. Daniel was a man of purpose. Daniel chapter 1, probably the most famous verse in when you think about Daniel is Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Daniel was a man of purpose. Even as a young man in a foreign land, in a strange place that he didn't have familiarity with, he already started to face challenges against what God had told him to do. And he was given the king's meat and the king's wine, and he wasn't supposed to partake in those things. He was not so, and you know what? He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. The different challenges and the different temptations that came. Listen, as a Christian, you're going to have challenges and you're going to have temptations that come across your path, come across your life, and you need to purpose in your heart not to give in, not to succumb to those challenges, just as Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not. Despite being young and under the pressure that he was put upon, he purposed in his heart to obey God no matter the cost. Are you going to purpose in your heart to obey God and not to succumb to challenges, not to give in temptations, no matter the cost? You need to purpose in your heart just as Daniel purposed in his heart. Daniel to put God first. And you know what happened? So God granted him favor in the sight of others. Because he purposed in his heart that he was not going to give in and succumb to those different challenges that came his way, he was made to look favorably in the sight of others. Daniel chapter 1 verse 9 says, "Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs." And so the man that was directly, basically his supervisor, the one who's taking care of this particular group with Daniel and his three friends, he was watching over them, providing them with food and clothes, and he was just the caretaker of them and in charge of them. And God put favor unto him. God favored Daniel in his eyes. Now, he brought Daniel unto favor and tender love to the prince of eunuchs. That's what's going to happen. If you purpose in your heart to serve God, you know what? You're going to have a good sight in others. Look at Joseph in Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. We see an example in Joseph is the same thing in Genesis chapter 39. Is where he was put into loving favor in the sight of Potiphar. Genesis chapter 39. Look at verses 1 through 4. It says, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he put into his hand." So we see there in the same type of situation, where Joseph's in a strange land, he's a foreigner, but there was something different about him. He loved the Lord, and it was shown that he loved the Lord. Do people see and recognize in your life your love for the Lord? Do you stand out? Is there a difference between you and some other Joe Schmo that you work with or you go to school with or whoever it is? There should be a difference in you. Just as there was a difference in Joseph, there was a difference in Daniel. They had favor in the sight of others. Why? Because they purposed in their heart to give God their life, to give God the glory, and to let it shine, to let people see their life and their love and care for the Father. Every Christian needs to be put to be a purposed Christian. They need to make sure that they're a person of purpose. They purpose that they're not going to give in, that they're going to put God first in their life. Listen, no one is a wishy-washy person. a person who's constantly changing their opinion and changing their mind, and they're not sticking to their guns and doing what they say they're going to do. No one likes that. People respect those who have conviction and stick to it. Bible says that especially with God, God does not respect a wishy-washy person. Revelation 3:16 says, "So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." He expects you to be hot or cold. And I expect you as a Christian, and we ought to stay hot. You ought to stay hot. You know, we're supposed to be keep. I will never forget that one message down at Youth Ablaze when they kept talking about, listen, it's up to you to keep your own fire burning, right? It's not just expect to stay on fire for the Lord to every special meeting that comes up or you go to. It's your job to get in your Bible, get excited to read that book, get excited to pray and talk to the Lord and keep your own fire going. You need to make sure that you purpose in yourself. A strong sense of purpose often breeds respect and admiration of others. Listen, you're more willing to follow someone who has a purpose than you are with someone who's not sure what they want to do. It's like, I can follow that person. He has a purpose. He knows what he's living for. He knows what he's working towards. I can get behind that. That's as a Christian, we are to have purpose, just as Daniel had purpose. You ought to have purpose in your heart as a Christian to have an intimate relationship with the Father and tell others about it. That's why we're here. Brother Netterville was just here and talked about us, about the great command that we've been given to witness to this world. Our purpose as a Christian, your purpose, your drive as a Christian should be, number one, your relationship with your Father and telling others about it. Number two, telling others about your relationship with God. How they too can have a relationship with the Father. That's what we're here for. You need to dare to be a Daniel. Right? We know that song, there's a song, dare to be a Daniel. Dare to be a Christian. Dare to purpose in your heart now to serve God no matter what. No matter what. The second thing that we're going to be looking at, not only did Daniel have purpose in his heart, but Daniel was a man of principle. Daniel was a man of principle. He refused to compromise his convictions. We already saw it in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, where as a young man, he would not partake in the king's meat. He decided he was not going to compromise his convictions. He knew that he wasn't supposed to eat it and he wasn't going to do it. But even later on in his years, as his name and as his fame got larger and greater and people knew and started to hear of Daniel and what a respectable and good man he was and that he was an interpreter of visions and dreams, look in Daniel chapter 5, he decided, you know what? When Belshazzar approached him, he was not going to compromise his convictions. The gift and the gifts that God had given him, he was not going to just be bought. Daniel chapter 5, look at verse 13 through 17. Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, art thou that Daniel which art of the children of captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? I have even heard of thee that the spirit of God of the gods in thee, and that the light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, and that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof, but they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck and shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known him the interpretation. He wasn't going to be bought. The gifts that God had given him, he wasn't going to be bought. He wasn't going to be bribed and given gifts. He said, no, I'm not going to give into that. I will tell you the matter, but you can keep your gifts. He wasn't going to be bought. He was not going to defile himself. He was going to be a man of principle, a man who sticks to his convictions. Are you someone today who sticks to the convictions that God has given you, the things that he has told you to incorporate into your life? He prayed to God under the threat of persecution because of the decree passed by King Darius. Look over in Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. All right, so then because of his fame, because of how great he was, all these other presidents and princes were jealous of him, and they wanted to get rid of Daniel. And in verses 6 and 7, it says, now then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. Look at the flattery words. All the presidents of the kingdom and governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the dens of lions. And look down at what happens with Daniel. What does he do? Did he give in to this? He knew that there was a law, and we're supposed to abide by man's law as best we can. But when it came to not praying to his God, praying to a king that's not his God, he wasn't going to do that. He wasn't going to give in to that law. Look at verse number 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day, and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Just as he did in times past, he said, you know what, I'm still going to pray to my God. I'm still under the threat of persecution, under the threat of being thrown in the lion's den, I'm still going to pray. He was a man of principle. You know, people admire a man of principle, someone who's willing to stand up for what he believes in. You know, I see a lot of times we're out street preaching or handing out Bibles, and outwardly you get some people that will drive by and they scoff at you. But you know what the funny thing about that is they wait until the light turns green, and as they're driving away, they start scoffing at you because they don't have the guts to do it to you sitting right there. They don't have the guts to do it because, you know what, in reality, inwardly, they don't have the guts to do what you're doing. Are you willing? You're willing to be a fool for Christ. I'm willing to be a fool for Christ. Whose fool are you? Are you the devil's fool? You think that, hail Satan driving down the road. You're a fool. You're on your way. He's got you, his grip on you so tight, and he's going to drag you right down to hell. And you think that you're some funny, witty person, and you're just deceived, and you're blind, and you have no understanding. But God admires, just as people admire a person of principle, God admires those who take a stand. Look at Psalm chapter 15. Psalm chapter 15. The book of Psalms, chapter 15. We'll read the whole chapter here, just five verses. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up reproach against his neighbor. In whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. And those that fear the Lord, God has a special place, he honoreth those who fear the Lord and stay with their convictions, who will not be moved, and he honoreth those men. Will you dare to be a Daniel? Will you dare to be a Christian who won't just give up on his convictions? Will you stand for your convictions? Will you be a man of principle like Daniel? Not only was Daniel a man of purpose and a man of principle, but thirdly, he was a man of purity. A man of purity. Back in Daniel chapter 6, we already touched on it once already, but in Daniel chapter 6, verse 4, then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. You know, they were trying to find something about Daniel, some fault, something that he did wrong, that they could put an accusation against him, but they couldn't find one. Can the same be said for you? Man, I look at myself. I'm being honest with myself, but we see that Daniel's not Jesus Christ here, right? This is a man with the same temptations, living in the same flesh and blood as you and I, but these men couldn't find fault in him. How are you doing? How are you doing? I can tell you right now, I don't think when people look at me, put me under a microscope, that they're going to find no fault in me. But we ought to strive for perfection. We ought to strive to be pure like Daniel, and that hopefully that nobody finds a fault in us. You know, we can all work, make sure that we have good attitudes. You know, when problems come our way and a lot of work, heavy work, whatever it may be, what kind of attitude do you have about it? People are watching you. They're observing you. Are they going to find fault in you? They couldn't find fault in Daniel. And this is one of the big reasons that he had favor among the king, because he had purity, because of his countenance, because, you know, he was a person who could be trusted, someone who was pure and honest. His purity in business affairs was related to his overall purpose, right? His overall purpose was to please God, and he was a man of principle, so that means that he could be trusted. He could be trusted. A man who is pure is someone who is honest and can be trusted. That's who you want in charge of things. Someone who you can trust, that's going to tell you the truth no matter what, even if it hurts. Do you tell the truth no matter what, even if it hurts, even if it could get you into trouble? You ought to be striving to be a man of purity, a woman of purity. As a Christian, we are to strive to be pure, whether you're young or old. Look at Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, starting in verse 6. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. That's what we should be striving for. That no one can have an evil thing to say of you. That's what we should be striving for. And you know, this is dealing with what people can see, but I'm telling you right now, if you're not striving to be pure in your private life, you're not going to be pure in your public life. As much as you can be on your best behavior in front of people, eventually it will come out. What you do and what you practice at home and in the privacy of your home and other places when you're not in front of people at church or people at work, guess what? Eventually, your colors will come out. You know, I think about it. You know, we have my younger brothers on our prayer list. And you never hope that you'd have to use an illustration for someone that you care about that's not living right. But it's just one of those things that, you know, I'm talking on the phone with my brother, and he's driving on his way to work, and some car must have cut him off or somebody did something, and he goes off cussing, doesn't care, is not even thinking about it, because it comes natural. Because that's what he's used to. That's what he does in his private life. That's what he does on his own now. And guess what? It's even got to the point that he slips up in front of the people that he knows he shouldn't be doing it. He knows he doesn't. He knows I'm not going to respect that. He knows I'll call him out on it, and I do. I'm like, what was that? Oh, nothing. And it's upsetting because that just goes to show you that he's so used to saying that and saying those things. It's so commonplace to him that he'll even let it slip in front of people that he knows it shouldn't be. He shouldn't be saying it in front of. But that's what's going to happen. Eventually, if you live that life and you're not living a pure life in the privacy of your home and but when nobody's watching, guess what? It will come out. You will be found out. You ought to be striving to live a pure life. People who maintain purity in their dealings with others are often in a position of great responsibility and privilege. Why? Because they can be trusted. Because they can be trusted. Are you someone who can be trusted? Are you someone who strives for purity? You ought to be striving for purity. We ought to be striving for perfection. We owe the Lord that. And lastly, number four, not only was Daniel a man of purpose, he was a man of principle. Not only was he a man of purity, but he was a man of prayer. A man of prayer. Daniel chapter 6. Back to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. He didn't just get down on his knees and prayed because this law was passed. He was doing this just as he did aforetime. This is what he did over and over and over again. This was part of his daily and hourly life. He did it three times a day. It wasn't just, okay, Lord, I'm going to spend a few minutes or 30 minutes or 40 minutes in prayer with you in the morning and that's it. No, this was three times a day. And it also showed his humility because he didn't just pray. He knelt on his knees and prayed, a demonstration of humility. Doesn't matter what the king signed, what the king decreed, what he put into law, he knew who his king was, the king of his heart. He was going to kneel to his God and to who the true king is. And he kneeled in prayer. And he did it constantly, three times a day, constantly depending on the Lord. Why? Because he wasn't going to depend on his flesh. He wasn't going to depend on, you know, his good principles and his purity and all the things that he strived for and the purpose. You know what? He's like, no, I still need to pray. He wasn't going to rely on his self-righteousness and his good works that he had done. He said, no, I still need God. No matter how good and how clean I live, I still need God. Amen. Listen, guys, we can try to live a clean life as we possibly can and do the right things and say the right things and read our Bible, but you need to pray. We need prayer in our life if we're going to have success. Do you pray with humility? And do you pray often? Do you pray three times a day? Do you pray without ceasing? 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. And in verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. concerning you. This is the will of God, that you are constantly praying and constantly being thankful. That's what you need to be doing, just as Daniel did. You are going to suffer loss. You're going to suffer a lot of pain if you're not willing to make sure and purpose and determine that you're going to spend time in prayer. That's a serious thing that needs to be done if you're going to have success. Like I said, you can do a lot of good things. Daniel was a good man, but at the end of the day, regardless of what happened, he still needed God. He needed God in his corner. And one of the greatest things, it's just amazing that he didn't just was humble before God, but he was willing to show man that he wasn't afraid of what man was going to do to him because he loved his God. He did it with those windows wide open. You know, that law was, you know, there would have been nothing wrong if he just, you know, I'm just going to go home and I'm just going to continue to pray. Maybe he didn't say, you know what, I'm going to go hide and pray. Some people would be like, you wouldn't think, well, I'm going to go hide and pray. No, he probably didn't even think about that. Even if he just went home and said, Lord, I need to pray. No, he said, I'm going to open my windows because I'm not afraid of what man can do unto me. I'm going to humble myself before God and pray like I always do and let the Lord take care of it. Are you living a life of prayer? Daniel was a man of prayer. Are you a man, a woman of prayer? I encourage you to spend that time in prayer because you need it. I need it. Are you living a life of purpose? You need to, if you haven't decided now, you're still trying to decide, man, am I all in or not? You need the purpose in your heart right now. You're going to serve God no matter what. No matter what, because he's worthy. Don't be on the fence. Listen, you're going to save yourself a whole lot of guilt, a lot of heartache, if you just said, you know what, I'm going to give God the glory with my life. I'm going to jump in and I'm going to devote myself completely to him. And you're not going to have any regrets versus if you make decisions based on, you know what, today I want to do it my way. Many times that leads to regrets. Almost always it leads to regret. Purpose in your heart. You're going to serve God no matter what. Are you standing on your principles? Are you going to take a stand for the convictions and the things that God has told you to do personally? Take a stand for it. Live clean. Live pure. Striving to have a life with purity, a clean life. Whether you're at home, in the privacy of your home, or in public, live a pure life. When people see you, they say, you know what, that's a person that can be trusted. You know what's going to happen? You know what's happened many times is even if there's people that I don't even witness to, but they know that I'm a Christian and there's something going wrong in their life, hey, man, will you pray for this? It happens all the time. You care enough about the Lord, you live a life of purity, and people say, hey, that's a man of God. I can trust them with something I wouldn't tell anybody else. Because they'll pray for it. Are you a man, are you a woman that's striving to live a pure life, a man of purity? And are you a man of prayer, a woman of prayer? That's just determined that I'm going to humble myself and I'm going to make sure and determine that I pray. Pray without ceasing. Pray and ask the Lord for wisdom, guys. I'm telling you right now, the Lord's willing to give it to you liberally. Start your prayer. Be thankful and thank the Lord for everything he's done for you and ask for some wisdom. Because he wants to give it to you, just waiting for you to ask. But we need to be in prayer because we need to remind ourselves it's not about us. Doesn't matter how much purpose you have, your good principles, your good convictions, and your purity, you can't do it on your own. You need to have God. And you need to be talking to him. Are you a man of purity? Are you a lady of purity? Are you a lady of purpose, a lady of principle, a lady of prayer? We need ladies that are willing to do that as well. Dare to be a Christian. Dare to be a Daniel. Purpose, principles, purity, and prayer. Incorporate these things in your life, and you know what? God can use you in a mighty way. You'll be lifted. Listen. You can come to a prominent place in your job, in your school, and you can be lifted up and you can have a good job, make good money, and do great things and have favor in this world without, just like Daniel, without giving up on these things. God will bless you for taking a stand and doing what's right. Let's strive to do that today. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for your word. Lord, I thank you for Daniel and the example that he has given us and how we can live our lives. Help us to have purpose. Help us to stand by our principles and the convictions that you laid upon our hearts. Lord, help us to live a life that's pure and honoring and glorifying to you no matter where we are. And Lord, help us to stay in a constant state of prayer, Lord, because we need you more than anything else. Lord, I pray that you'd work in the hearts of your people. I pray if there's anyone here that's never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, Lord, that tonight would be the night of salvation for them. Lord, maybe they don't understand what all this means, but Lord, you came down and you died on the cross for our sins so that we can have the ability to give you glory with our lives. So Lord, I just pray that you'd work on the heart of anyone here that may not be saved. And Lord, for those who are saved, that you just continue to help them to strive for these attributes like Daniel. Lord, I pray that you'd be with this time of invitation, that you'd work in a mighty way. Lord, I love you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Brother Daniel.